And so we're going to, I want to share something. It's just been something that's been stirring in my heart for a while, and I've talked about it a little bit, mentioned it, and we've talked about it some in prayer school as well. But go with me to Ephesians 6, and the title tonight is Standing in the Evil Day. Standing in the Evil Day. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So here the Apostle Paul in verse 13, he identifies a period of time as the evil day. And I think we could, by my estimation anyway, the evil day is here right now. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, this is what we're living through in our nation is unprecedented with the COVID-19 and all that's going on with that, all that went on with that, all that's been going on with all the rioting, and it seems like this the whole country losing their mind, and we're living in an evil day. Deception is rampant. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. Lawlessness and murder is allowed to go on in the cities of our nation unchallenged, it seems like. And if a person dares to speak up for genuine biblical truth and biblical values, then you're labeled as a hater and a bigot. So what are we to do? What are we supposed to do? What can we do? So Paul gives us the answer right here. Thank God the answer is in God's Word. He says, take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. We don't have to be swept away. We don't have to be swallowed up. We don't have to be defeated, amen. We don't have to give up and wring our hands and throw our hands up in despair in the evil day. We can withstand in the evil day. Praise God. And in the New Living Translation, he says in verse 13, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm." Praise God. So we can do that. Amen. We can withstand, and we can resist in the time of evil. And when the battle's over and the dust settles and the smoke clears, guess what? We'll still be standing firm. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so, you know, I looked up the word evil, and I've got in my program that I use on my computer for my Bible study, I can put in a word, and it has a concordance, and I can find out how many times that word is used in the Bible, all the scriptures. The word evil is used in the Bible 482 times. That's quite a lot, isn't it? 482 times. So there is, make no mistake, there is evil in the world. There's been evil in the world ever since the time that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and opened the door up to the devil. There's been evil in the world. There's evil in the world now. And there'll be evil in the world until Jesus comes back and sets things right. And Satan is bound in the bottomless pit. Praise God. So, and we talked about this, a few weeks ago on a Sunday. In our dealings with people, we're told in Romans 12:21, he says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Amen? We overcome evil by doing good. He says, don't be overcome by evil. So thank God if He tells us not to be overcome by evil, then surely He gives us the means whereby we cannot be overcome by evil. So take heart. If we will use the tools available to us, if we'll use the tools that God's given us, we don't have to be overcome by evil. Amen? Praise God. We can overcome evil with good. And in fact, we do this in prayer school. We pray the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:13, and do not lead us into temptation, but what? But deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Paul talked about it in his letter to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly. And I think I forgot to tell you, the New Living is what I needed there. I didn't make a note of that. Let me just read it to you. It reads a little better, I think, a little clearer out of the New Living. It's good in the New King James. But just listen to it in the New Living here. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. And then verse 2, he says, pray too that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. Pray that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. There's evil people out there. We're finding that out, right? Amen? Are y'all with me? Give me a little feedback here tonight. Come on. Amen. All right. There's evil people out there. And yes, we want to see them saved. But Paul also said, pray that we be rescued from them. Pray that we be rescued from them. And in the New King James, it says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And here it says that we may be rescued from wicked and evil people. So we can pray that for ourselves, and I believe for our nation as well, that we will be delivered and rescued from wicked and evil people, that they'll not succeed in their plans to overthrow our nation. Amen? Amen. Praise God. For not everyone is a believer. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Hallelujah. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. But going back to Ephesians chapter 6, let's go back there. And he tells us in Ephesians 6, he says in verse number 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he says in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, so that we can successfully stand in the evil day. So the armor of God is available to us, but we have to put it on. We have to take it up. Amen? Well, we're going to look at what that armor is, and we're going to find out how to put it on. Amen? You ever wondered about that? Well, we're going to look at what it is specifically, and we're going to talk about how to put it on. Now again, this armor is to equip us to stand against demonic forces. Paul again tells us here, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and look at what he says, put verse, Mike, if you'd put verse 12 back up there of Ephesians 6. Look at what he says here, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Everybody say principalities. Secondly, powers. Everybody say powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Everybody say the rulers of the darkness of this age. All right. And then four, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. All right. The word host means armies. We talk about that on the good side, on the positive side, that the Lord calls himself the Lord of hosts, right? You know, thus says the Lord of hosts. It's mentioned several, especially in the book of Haggai. That's one place where it really stands out, where he calls himself the Lord of hosts. Well, those hosts that he's the Lord over are the angelic armies. Well, there's hosts on the other side. There are spiritual hosts, spiritual armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, I don't say that to depress you. I don't say that to alarm you. But I do say that to open our eyes that we know what we're dealing with. Amen? This is not a Sunday school picnic. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual battle. And certainly it's become more clear in our world than ever before. And we have to understand that it's not just people that are raging and going crazy. There are spiritual forces behind it. And Paul identified that. He says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And if we want to see it stop, and if we want to see things change, then this is where we're going to have to deal with it. Amen? Praise God. And this is an evil day. It's an evil day when spiritual armies of wickedness are executing an attack plan against the church and against the kingdom of God. And that's what they do, and that's what they are doing. All right? Again, notice, I want to identify something here in this verse where it says spiritual hosts or spiritual armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what do you mean? Heaven, that's where God lives. Are these demonic armies? Are these spiritual armies? Are they in heavenly places? Well, heavenly places there doesn't mean the heaven of heaven where God lives. The Apostle Paul talked about, remember in 2 Corinthians where he says, I know a man in Christ who, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. He was talking about himself. He said how he was caught up into the third heaven. Well, if there's a third heaven, there has to be a second and a first, right? Amen. You know, Travis is my third son. The reason being is because we had Will and Jeremy first, right? We had to have number one and number two before we could have number three. For there to be a third heaven, there's got to be a first heaven and a second heaven. Amen. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up to the heaven. That's the heaven of heaven where God is. The first heaven is the atmosphere right around the earth. That's where these demonic forces are. That's the heavenly places that he's talking about here. In fact, also in Ephesians in chapter 2, Paul talks about the prince of the power of where? Of the air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air. They occupy the atmosphere right around the earth. In fact, I believe the astronauts, some of the astronauts testified when we had our space program going and we were going to the moon. They testified about how once they got out of the Earth's atmosphere, there was just so much peace. Why? They broke through those where those demons are hanging around, where those wicked spirits in the heavenly places are hanging around. And anyway, that's where he's talking. When he says heavenly places, that's what he's talking about. But I want to point something else out in here that I actually just saw as I was reading through this at the beginning. Put verse 11 back up there, Mike, if you would. Look at this now. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what?
Wiles.
The wiles. The wiles of the devil. He didn't say against the great power of the devil. He didn't say against the great might of the devil. He said against the wiles of the devil. Anybody ever watched the Roadrunner cartoon when you were growing up? Who is the Roadrunner's arch enemy? Wile E. Coyote. And what was Wile E. Coyote always trying to do? He was always trying to come up with a scheme. What did he do? He'd put a trap out, and then he'd put Roadrunner feed, out over the trap, and the Roadrunner would come meep meep, and come pretty good, huh? And he'd come meep meep, and he'd stop, and he'd see the seed there, and with his beak, he'd peck the seed, and he'd eat up all the seed. And the trap was first supposed to spring while he was eating the seed, but it wouldn't, And then he'd meep, meep, and he's gone again. And then Wiley Coyote would come over and say, I wonder why the trap didn't spring. He'd start bouncing up and down. And then the trap would spring while he was, while he was in it there. That's what the devil is. It's the wiles of the devil. That's how we got off on, they were talking about the Roadrunner. Wile E. Coyote, okay? The wiles of the devil. It's the devil's schemes, his deceptions. That's what we have to watch out for. That's why we need the armor of God, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. It's not... See, the Bible also says that in the book of James, that, or is it 1 Peter, I think, that James or Peter says that the devil is walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What does that mean? It means he has to find an opening. It means he has to have permission granted. It means that he can't just come in and just overpower you with his great power. He's seeking whom he may devour. He wouldn't have to have permission if he could just go come in and just run you over. Huh? Amen? And so it's the wiles of the devil that we have to be aware of. And it's the wiles of the devil that the armor of God protects us from. Praise God. And it's when we have on that armor that we can successfully stand in the evil day. Praise God. So let's look at it. So it's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places that we're up against. And it's their wiles, it's their schemes, it's their deceptions. The main thing that Satan, the main title that he's known as is deceiver. You read the book of Revelation, and not right now, but he's known as the deceiver, that great dragon who deceived them, the devil and Satan. Over and over, he's referred to as the deceiver. All right. So again, 2 Corinthians 10. Let's look at this, and we'll come back to Ephesians. But 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. This is encouraging here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do walk in the flesh, don't we? We live in a human body. We live in this natural realm. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We're in a war. Amen. He says we do not war. There's not a period there after the word war. We do war, but we do not war according to the flesh. What do we war according to? Verse 4 tells us, for the weapons, everybody say weapons, for the weapons of our warfare. We are in a warfare, and we do have weapons, and we better learn how to use them. Amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural weapons, but they're what? Oh, glory to God. Mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Amen. Praise God. So now let's go back to Ephesians. This armor that we have, that's part of our mighty weapons. Weapons that are mighty in God. So Ephesians 6, again, back in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, right? And in the power of His might. Amen. So it's not our own ability, but it's His ability. And then verse 14, so he begins to list the armor here in Ephesians 6, 14. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praise God. So he lists the pieces of the armor here. We're going to go through them one by one. Number one, he says, having girded your waist with truth. Having girded your waist with truth. So the number one piece of armor, the first piece of armor that we are to take up is what? Truth. The belt of, one translation says, the belt of truth. And it's like the belt holds everything together. But the number one piece of armor is truth. Well, what is truth? Jesus answered that question in John 17. And verse 17, Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. is truth. The Word of God is truth. Can you understand if Satan's number one tactic, if Satan's number one tool is deception? Can you understand how truth would be our number one weapon? Amen. Praise God. So we put on the belt of truth. We gird our loins with the truth. That's our number one weapon. That's the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we know what the Word of God says. That's why it's so important that we react according to the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we're led not by our feelings. Oh my goodness, it's so easy to be led by our feelings and by our emotions. And that's where people get in trouble today, being led by their emotions, being led by their feelings. And the devil knows if he can get you over into the emotional realm, into the feeling realm, he can deceive you and he can mislead you. And we see him doing that with millions of people today. He's got them off into the feeling realm, into the emotion realm. And many of them are certainly void of any understanding of the truth of God's Word. So that's why it's so important that we're led by the Word of God, that we always go back to, what does the Word say? What does God's Word say? That's our number one piece, our first piece of our armor is the truth. And God's Word is the truth. And then he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is our breastplate. When the devil tries to take a shot right at your heart, then you've got that breastplate of righteousness on, and you can repel his attack. Amen? Praise God. Well, what does righteousness mean? Righteousness means right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. It means right standing with God. The Bible says that we've been given the gift of righteousness. Romans chapter 5, it says that in verse 17 says that we have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And we can reign in life through the Lord Jesus. That verse won't be up on the screen, but it's Romans 5:17. It's the gift of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. So we put on that breastplate of righteousness, that breastplate of right standing with God. And so what does that do for us? That puts us in a position where the devil cannot accuse us. He's also called the accuser. He's called a deceiver, but he's also called the accuser of the brethren. And if you don't take up the breastplate of righteousness, if you don't know that you're righteous, then the devil will come along and tell you that you're not worthy. The devil will come along and tell you that, you know, oh, you've sinned. Oh, you're not worthy. You know, you deserve for me to beat you up. You deserve for me to do this to you because you're not worthy. You've made mistakes. You've sinned. You've come short. God's punishing you for your sins here. You know, when it's the devil that's doing it to you, but then if he can get you to not take up or to put down that breastplate of righteousness, then his attacks can be successful. But no, we've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not righteous in our own ability, by our own works, but through what Jesus did. We've received that gift of righteousness. Praise God. We've been made righteous by him, and so we put on that breastplate of righteousness, and we know that we are in right standing with God. We know that we're not inferior. We know that we're not in a place of shame and unworthiness, but we've been made righteous. We've been made worthy. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When you know that you're righteous, you know that you can be bold. You know that you can be bold to resist the devil. The Bible tells us to do that. In James, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you don't know that you're righteous, you can't boldly resist the devil. Amen? Praise God. So put on that breastplate of righteousness. And then the third thing, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. never forget, we can never forget that our main assignment is to spread the gospel. Amen? That's why we're here. And that's what the devil is trying to thwart. That's what the devil is trying to stop. He's trying to stop you and me from sharing the gospel with other people so they can be saved. Amen? He thought he had a great plan set up when he got Adam and Eve to sin in the Garden of Eden. He thought, okay, now that sin nature is going to pass down to all humanity. All humanity is doomed now. But he didn't know about the cross. He didn't know about Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And Jesus undid what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. But it won't become a reality and a benefit for anyone unless they hear about it, unless they hear the gospel and believe and call on the name of the Lord. Amen? So he says we have to be having our feet shod with the preparation. In other words, we need to be ready to share the gospel. We need to be ready to tell people the good news about Jesus. That's part of our armor. Amen? Not forgetting our assignment, not losing sight of what our assignment is. Amen. And then he says this in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, it sounds to me like the shield of faith is pretty important, right? He says, above all, take the shield of faith. Well, why does he say above all? Because it's faith that activates all the armor. It's faith that activates all of it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, of course, Paul, when he was a Roman citizen, and when he wrote this in Ephesians, he was thinking about the armor that the Roman soldiers had. And part of that armor was their shield of faith. And so they would march into the battle, and the arrows of the enemy were flying, but the soldiers had that shield that they would put up, and they could put that shield up, and they could squat down, and no matter how many arrows came against them, that shield of faith, if they kept it in place, it would quench every fiery dart. Praise God. Every fiery dart of the wicked one, of the enemy. He says, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all. How many?
All.
All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Praise God. The darts against your health. The darts against your finances. The darts against your family. The darts against your business. The darts against whatever area it is, whatever area that Satan would launch those fiery darts, the shield of faith will quench every one of them. Hallelujah. The shield of faith will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Praise God. So that's why we hold up that shield of faith. That's why we walk in faith. That's why we never let go of our faith. Praise God. That's why we believe God in every situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, we choose to believe God. We choose to believe what God, that's what faith is, believing what God's Word says, regardless of the circumstances. Believing the Word of God, we choose to do that. And that's keeping up that shield of faith. Here's where the wiles of the devil come in. Satan comes in and lies to us and says, oh, it's not working. God's not going to answer your prayer this time. And what is he? What if we believe that? What are we doing? We're letting go of the shield of faith. But Paul told us to take it up. Amen. It's only when the shield of faith is taken up that it can quench all the fiery darts. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. And then he says this in verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation. Well, what does your helmet protect? It protects your head. That represents our thought life, doesn't it? Our mind, our thoughts. That deals with our thought life. What is it? It's the helmet of what?
Salvation.
It's the helmet of salvation. What are you? What have you? What's happened to you? Have you been saved? Born again? Saved? We have, haven't we? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Jesus came to save us. Glory to God. And that doesn't just mean that we don't go to hell and we go to heaven, although that's an incredible, wonderful benefit. Amen? Saved is every area of our life. It's the Greek word sozo. It means forgiven. It means healed. It means protected. It means redeemed. It means that you're a child of God. That's the helmet of salvation. Praise God. Don't allow a thought contrary to that. Don't allow a thought contrary to the reality that you're forgiven. Don't allow a thought contrary to the reality that you're delivered. Don't allow a thought contrary to the fact that you're a child of God. Don't allow a thought contrary to the fact that you're redeemed. Amen? That's what saved is. And it's the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. We put that over our thought life. Glory to God. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm redeemed. I'm protected. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. Glory to God. And let that saturate your thinking. Let that saturate your thoughts. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And the sword of the Spirit, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I've pointed this out to you many times. The word, the phrase, or the phrase Word of God is translated from a Greek word, one Greek word that means rhema, rhema. And it means the spoken word, the spoken word. And so really all the pieces of armor except this one are defensive. This is our offensive weapon. Amen? The Bible says that when Jesus comes back, it says out of His mouth, what? Goes a sharp, two-edged sword. Amen. Hallelujah. And with it, that's His word. Amen. So we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, God's Word spoken. That's why it's so important to speak God's Word. That's why it's so important in spiritual warfare to speak God's Word. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and was confronted by Satan and was tempted by the devil, what did He do? Over and over, He said, "It is written." He said it. He didn't just think it, but He said it. "It is written." And He spoke the Word of God. Amen. He defeated Satan with the sword of the Spirit. He put him to flight with the sword of the Spirit. Praise God. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the spoken Word of God wielded at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's called the sword of what? The sword of the Spirit, isn't it? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit wields that sword. That's why it's important to be led by the Spirit. That's why it's important to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will remind you of a scripture that you need. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of scriptures that we need to use and to speak in a certain situation. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit prompts us to speak those words, to speak those scriptures in spiritual warfare. Amen. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he says in the next verse, which we won't have it on the screen, but he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Really, really this armor that He's given us is prayer armor. And I talked about this in our prayer school group, because I know I had, there's some people that that I know that are real people, of real prayer warriors. And one of them was commenting and talking about on Facebook about this, the oppression and the like, the seeming discouragement and despair and heaviness that was coming against them. And I noticed that as well. I thought, what, you know, okay, this makes sense. We're in a battle. And that's when I got to thinking about the evil day. That's why Paul said, you know, talked about the evil day. And so he's talking about this armor. He's talking about is for prayer. When we're praying, he says we need to have on that armor. Amen. And so he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praise God. So we listed six pieces of the armor of God here. We listed the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. How do we put it on? How do we take it up? Amen? Well, think about this. How do we apply the blood of Jesus? In the Old Testament, Moses instructed the children of Israel to take the Passover lamb and to kill the Passover lamb and to drain the blood into a basin and to take a hyssop branch and to dip the hyssop branch into that basin of blood and to mark the doorpost of their home, right? Well, how do we apply that? That was a type and a picture of the blood of Jesus. That Passover lamb, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. How do we apply the blood of Jesus? We apply the blood of Jesus by faith, don't we? And we apply the blood of Jesus with our tongue, right? Our tongue is like that hyssop branch dipped into the blood of the Passover lamb. We take the promises of God and we dip our tongue into the promises of God, and we, by faith, we speak and we apply the blood of Jesus by faith and with my word, with our words. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and how? The word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. Praise God. So it was the blood and their words. The blood and their words. So how do we put the armor of God on? The same way. By faith, believing that this armor belongs to us, believing that it's ours, believing that we can take it up, and saying it, but believing it. Hallelujah. Declaring it. Amen. We say, I gird my loins with the truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I take up the shield of faith with which I can quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I put on the helmet of salvation. I take the sword of the Spirit, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Praise God. That's how we do it. We, by our faith and with our words, we put on the armor of God. Amen? Praise God. All right. We'll wrap it up right here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 6, Paul talked about it, and he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In Ephesians 5, he mentioned evil days as well. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, he says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Notice this. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. Here he mentions again the days being evil. All right? So he says he's giving them advice. He's giving them direction on what to do. He says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Praise God. So in order to live in evil days, what should we understand? What do we need to understand? We need to understand the will of the Lord, right? And where do we find the will of the Lord? Through the Word of God. Again, that ties into the Word of God being the truth. Amen? Your Word is truth. So we understand and we know the will of the Lord through the Word of God. So he says, don't be a fool, but be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Be filled with the Spirit. So number one, we put on the armor of God. And then number two, the second thing that we do is that we make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And what he means by that is it's not just the experience like I had in 1979 when I was a senior in high school that I've been talking to you about recently. That's when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I had that experience. You probably had a moment in your life where you received the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. That's the starting point, but that's not the end all. Amen? When he's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, he's talking about a continual experience. In fact, in the Greek, when he says be filled, if you would put that up there again, and verse 18, Mike, if you would. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, it's in the continuous tense. It literally means be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Or this, it means be continually in the process of being filled. Be continually in the process of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, how do we do that? Well, again, I don't have we may not have the scriptures on the screen for you. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, make a note of this if you want to look at it later. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise God. Praising God, singing, praising, praying in the Spirit. That's how you stay filled, stay full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's necessary. It's essential in being able to live and navigate evil days. Amen? Praise God. Don't get caught up in trying to, you know, and there's a temptation of trying to, you know, deal with this naturally. And you know, I've been angry, and I'm sure you have too, seeing the news reports and seeing some of the things that have been happening. We were talking about it just before the service started tonight, about some of the things happening with the riots and the rioters and the things that they're doing, the horrible tactics. And there's been, you know, they've been using lasers and shining the lasers into the eyes of the law enforcement officials. They said there's some law enforcement officials in Portland that may be blinded forever because they shined these lasers at them, the Antifa members. So, of course, it makes you angry. Amen. But we have to deal with it in the Spirit. If we're going to cut off the supply, yes. In the natural, we want our law enforcement, we want our government, our officials to do their part. We want the people that are funding and sourcing all this, we want them to be found out and prosecuted and the funding cut off. But spiritually, we need to cut off the source of it. And we can do that. Amen. Through prayer and by using our authority and by using our weapons, our spiritual weapons. Amen. Praise God. By putting on the armor of God, by being filled with the Spirit and staying filled with the Spirit. And then he says, notice he says this back in verse number 15. If you'll throw that one back up there. Ephesians 8, 15. And having, no, 5:15, I'm sorry. There we go. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then verse 16, I'm sorry, 16 is what I was looking for. Redeeming what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So he says what we need to be focusing on is doing what? Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. What does that mean? It means taking advantage of every opportunity. Taking advantage of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity to share the gospel, to advance the kingdom of God. Praise God. In evil days, there's the danger of wasting time. When we're facing evil days, there's the danger there's a danger of falling into wasting time. Why? Because fear will lead to inactivity. Fear can paralyze you. And if you're overwhelmed by what the devil is doing, if you're being overcome by evil and you're being trapped in fear, that will cause you, fear will paralyze you, and that will lead to inactivity. And also, evil days can cause you to be caught up in and lose sight of your focus and your purpose as a believer, and cause you to be distracted and miss opportunities. So we're to make the most of every opportunity. Amen? Amen. So we stay full of the Spirit. We put on the armor. How do we put on the armor? By faith and with our words. Amen? Praise God. Let me pray for you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters tonight. And I thank you for your grace upon us. I thank you for your hand upon us. And I thank you, Father, that you've not abandoned us. I thank you that you've not forsaken us. I thank you, Lord, for the armor that you have given us.